All right, I'm going to jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that, Stan McDonald, absolutely. Stan McDonald, attorney at law at the Wilmer & Lee Law Firm in Huntsville, 30-year veteran of practicing law, is the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a few minutes. All right, look, for those of my liberal progressive followers who like to take issue with virtually anything I say on social media, just go ahead and prepare to be triggered. I'm going there. I'm going there, the source of all consternation and the symbol of what too many of the liberal progressive wing of society have the concern of being the root cause of the great divide in public discourse. Pray tell, what could this be? What document has that effect upon liberals? I'm talking about the Bible. I'm actually going to reference the Bible today, so hang on. But first of all, though, I got to tell you that something happened very quietly earlier this year that kind of flew under the radar, and it really bugs me. It's right here in our listening area. You may recall that a couple of years ago, Alabama became one of the few states to pass a law against transgender surgeries and therapies on minors. The legislation was called the VCAP Act, which stands for Vulnerable Child and Protection Act. Liberal activists immediately filed suit against it, and the case went to court right here in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Alabama, in the federal courthouse in Huntsville. And then the most maddening part. The Biden administration jumped in as an additional intervener in the case to fight against the VCAP bill. The whole of government, determined to allow impressionable children to be sacrificed on the cult of transgenderism's altar. And it was attorneys right here in Huntsville's office of the U.S. attorney that fought the case for the Biden administration. Only after Trump was elected did the local U.S. attorney's office bow out. Only after they were given the cover to do so, I guess. So with little fanfare, the local U.S. attorney just simply and quietly quit trying to fight to support transgender surgeries on kids. Right here, in Red State, Alabama. And I have to question that. I have to wonder what was going through their minds as they pressed in on something so heinous. Did it not conflict with their morals? Did it not weigh on their consciences? Look, I want to point out that I do believe the Bible. I'm not asking that any of you suspend your own disbeliefs in the concepts of a loving and omnipresent God or of Jesus being our Savior. I do believe those to be true, but today I'm looking at the Bible as what many have forgotten it also is. You can acknowledge it as a source of historical record. Think about it. The Bible, whether you believe what it talks about in terms of faith, is still a historical record because it talks about cultures and mores and societal issues for thousands of years back. It's a source of cultural commentary because, you see, the Bible is all of that. It has transcended time with no changes. It's a literal recounting of times, places, and cultures and forgotten peoples and cultural divides and wars and famines and natural disasters. Biblical scholar Josh McDowell, in his book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, great book, by the way, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, he recounted the facts of biblical archaeology and the biblical historical record as part of the proof of God's existence that caused him to convert to Christianity when he had at first been an atheist. Literally, he was challenged to prove the Bible wrong, and he came to the logical conclusion that in the absence of proof that it was wrong, that he must accept, therefore, that it could be right. It was a choice of the heart that he made with his head. But in that vein, and go with me here as I talk about the transgender issue, in that vein, an interesting study emerged not too long ago. One recounting of it can be found on the website called Religion News Services from April 20th of 2022. An archaeologist by the name of Stephen Collins, he's the lead on an ongoing archaeological dig near the Dead Sea at a site known as Tal el-Hammam. Tal el-Hammam. In the course of the dig, Collins' team from Trinity Southwest University found overwhelming evidence of an apocalyptic event. There were melted rooftops, disintegrated pottery, unusual patterns on rock formations that are generally associated with intense heat, and evidence that for several centuries after whatever the event was, that 100 acres or so of the site lay fallow with no growth. In the journal Nature, he finally conceded that the incineration of the location and the timing and the evidence of the incineration appeared to match the biblical recounting of Sodom and Gomorrah. The recounting that I read said that by daring to postulate this finding, that Collins himself actually brought down the academic version of hellfire. But experts, though, from 19 different research institutions were finally said to have agreed with Collins that the findings indicate that a massive airburst or a comet did destroy the community at Tal el-Hammam in an area and of the approximate timing of the biblical Sodom and Gomorrah. All right. Why am I saying all that? Well, let's assume for a minute the findings of Collins' team are in fact Sodom and Gomorrah. If so, Does it lend credibility to the biblical story? Well, I would say yes. Although some will be quick to point out the timing is not perfect, or the biblical recounting of Lot and his family fleeing with the advice of angels is just way too fanciful. Okay, whatever. But what about the rest of the story? What about the fact that it described a city that had become so depraved that strangers passing through were no longer safe there? That overly sexualized and often violent individuals felt so bold that they could bang on the door of a neighbor's house, Lot's house, and demand that he send out the male guests that had arrived so the men of the town could rape them. In a world that now sees U.S. attorneys fighting to support transgenderism on kids, or drag queens exposing themselves to children, and more, does the biblical account of the behavior of the men of Sodom and Gomorrah seem that far-fetched anymore? The simple answer is no. So then why are we shocked to find out that what is described as having occurred 1500 to 1700 years ago back in B.C. may in fact be repeating itself? You know, I used to read scripture and I'd hear of biblical accounts of child sacrifice and I'd think, wow, what does it take to get a society to the point that sacrificing their children is considered normal? The truth is, we're seeing the ease with which segments of society have come most recently to the notion that sacrificing a child is okay, as long as it suits the needs of the one doing the sacrificing. So yeah, we're not that far from biblical standards again, are we? But it's hard to compare anything to the transgender movement as it affects kids. Transgenderism, the notion that somebody could be born one gender and then change to another, or identify to another, it's a mental disorder. It's not a physical disorder. It's a mental machination that defies science, and really, it defies reality. And yet somehow the left has embraced this notion of gender fluidity, and an entire cottage medical industry has sprung up on the treatments, the medications, the counseling, the surgeries, and the lobbying efforts to demand and cajole that this disorder must now be accepted, even when it comes to minor children. Sort of like Sodom and Gomorrah. There's no other mental disorder in the world in which healthy are required to join the unhealthy in their unhealthy behaviors. I've said it before here on the show. If someone were depressed or bipolar or suicidal, we would work and pray to lead them out of it. But the transgender agenda, it demands that we join them in their fallacious thinking, or else we are part of the problem. And like I said, even when it becomes something that involves minor children, and I'm telling you, Sodom and Gomorrah have nothing on this stuff. But the Old Testament is not out of line with the New Testament. Biblical archaeology and biblical cultural recountings, they continue well throughout the New Testament as well. And Jesus dealt with it firsthand when he rebuked his own disciples for trying to keep children from asking for his attention. In a very candid moment of concern for the well-being of children, Jesus told the listeners in Matthew 18 that when it comes to children, and here's the quote, he said, "If you give them a hard time, bullying or take advantage of their simple trust, you'll soon wish you hadn't. You'd be better off dropped in the middle of a lake with a millstone wrapped around your neck, doomed to the world for giving these God-believing children a hard time. Hard times are inevitable, but you don't have to make it worse, and it's doomsday to you if you do." By the way, that's the Message translation of Matthew 18, 6 and 7. So yeah, I choose to take the Bible literally. I personally believe it's the unerring word of God, but even if you don't, you would have to at very least give it some due for its ability to recite records of historical culture and geography and world events. And it seems to be perpetuating itself. As Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Evil still wants our kids. Evil still walks among us and still bangs on the door and demands access to our precious kids. And I believe that God's position on that is pretty clear. Drag queens, pedophiles, and parents who sacrifice their children to the little g gods of culture. Attorneys and politicians who turn a blind eye and sometimes even stand up in court to defend the idea of harming kids. That's just Sodom and Gomorrah on repeat. And I don't know if those of you hearing me relate to God like I do. I wish you would. But for now, just take the Bible as a history book at the very least. And consider that it may be giving us a warning about what happens to a society when it sacrifices the children. All that so-called enlightenment, that deserves nothing more than a millstone necklace. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.